Weekly Bugle, initiating. With your host, Anthony Chase Smith.
Today on the Weekly Bugle, a guest host, Logan, Beauty and the Beast, and much more.
Welcome.
All right, and welcome to the Weekly Bugle, finally starting up after our, about a year-long absence. We haven't done this in forever. My name is Cooper Ferguson. I'm being your guest host today. Our good friend Chase is indisposed. And with me in the studio are two lovely nerds. We have Nicholas Johnson. Say hi, Nick.
Hello, everybody.
And David Irvin.
Hello.
All right. Now, I'm a nerd in most places, like most area of nerdness. Like, I used to be seriously into comic books, and I still like it. And I'm very much like a music nerd and a movie nerd and general sci-fi. I enjoy those things. Do you have a particular area of nerdiness that you subscribe to?
Not really. I'm pretty much a nerd in all things.
A nerd in
equal areas. Mostly video games, though, I suppose. Right. I would say that.
A nerd in equal areas.
Yeah.
I think I do most things, but mainly probably comic books is my big thing.
All right. Cool. At least we have like a nice wide breadth of a... topics to be covered.
Yeah.
I don't think we're missing anything. Television, that might be it.
Yeah.
I don't think the best I can say is that I saw Firefly. That's about it.
That's a good show.
I think that's the extent of like my typical nerdiness when it comes to TV shows. But today we are talking about a couple fun things. First up, we want to get this out of the way. Logan was released not too while ago. This is the, if I'm correct, the final film that Hugh Jackman is supposed to be in as Wolverine. And I'm apparently the only one who saw it out of the three of us here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't know if Chase was expecting you guys to have already seen it, but as it stands, I'm going to just say I thought it was nice. Now, if Chase was here, he literally, I think he called me.
Yeah.
He called me the night he saw it as I was trying to go to sleep. Like, I was in bed, and he rang me up and said, I just cried. I never cry at movies, but the ending made me cry. And he was saying like he would give it a 9 or a 9.5, and I was going, man, I'm expecting so much out of this.
Yeah, he was telling us it was like Oscar-worthy already.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the, it's already just the beginning of 2017 for movies and stuff.
And I saw it, and it wasn't bad, like at all. It wasn't bad at... Well, I mean, I had an amazing viewing experience because we went to the UEC out on the highway, and they have recently put in a bunch of recliners, like robotic, automatic recliner, and it's the comfiest thing in the universe. Like, I will go there forever if I can. So I got to, like, relax and watch all of it, which was great. But in the end, I could only give it, like, a 6.5.
Mm.
Like, it was a good comic book movie. It was a better than average, much better than average comic book movie. And especially Hugh Jackman did great. And the little kid in it also did great. And watching Patrick Stewart be Professor X for, I don't know if he's ever going to do it again, but he was also fantastic. So in the general sense, it was great. There were plenty of things that could have been done better. Just because you've seen them in other movies be done better, like cinematography or general interesting dialogue, stuff like that. That could have been improved in a very general way. So that held it back. But in sense of it being a comic book movie, it was very nice.
Yeah. One thing that I do know about it is our other friend Noah was talking about how after watching Logan, we went to go watch Age of Ultron again. And coming from rated R action to PG-13 action, it was, like, really amazing in Logan. And then coming back to, like, where there's not really too much violence in Age of Ultron, he's like, I want to see someone's head get cut off or something.
It was so interesting, like, because there was just language everywhere. And it felt really weird for me to be like, oh, my gosh, what is this comic book movie doing? And then I thought, oh, wait, we had Deadpool. And, like, if you're old enough, you're like, oh, wait, and there were also Blade, and Blade just... tore everything apart, but it was also like really campy, silly. So this was really interesting to see like one of the first really official mainstream comic book movies go that hard into the R area. But the action was still great, like the blood and everything. It made everything so much more intense. It like I can understand it being there, and I think it was a necessity to tell that right story. All right, tangent. What did you think of Age of Ultron?
I actually really like it a lot.
Okay.
Just because, you know, it's a collection of some pretty cool heroes. Personally, I did like Civil War a little bit more than Age of Ultron just because of the amount of people that are in it. But what's his name? Spader was really great. He's my favorite villain of all time just because of how poetic his every scene is. Like, even in one of the scenes, you can see the Scarlet Witch character, like, look down at Spader because of how just beautiful he does his lines.
There we go.
Yeah, thoughts, I would David? Say, I don't know. I mean, I liked the movie, but from a comic perspective, it was a little disappointing that Ant-Man wasn't in it, being that the next film was Ant-Man. I think that kind of, for me, threw it off a little bit because Ultron's, his personality was different because of that. But I think the performances were really good, and I loved all the characters, and it really got me, you know, with Quicksilver.
Yeah, that was really...
What'd you think of Civil War?
I think the reason they were fighting was kind of dumb because it's essentially sort of like Batman v Superman, but handled in a different way. But performances were really pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the new Spider-Man, just him in general was pretty darn good. Yeah. And Black Panther, another one of my favorite characters, was introduced.
There you go. I really liked seeing Black Panther, and I really love that he's going to get a movie because it's being directed by a guy named Ryan Coolidge, I think that's his name. And he directed Fruitvale Station, which I have not seen, but since I'm a total movie nerd, I have it in my watch list that is now 1,100 something long. But he also made Creed, and Creed was the that recent movie that was about Apollo Creed's son coming back and being trained by Rocky to fight in the boxing just world, and it was a giant thing, and it was a fantastic film. So if they tap that guy to play to direct Black Panther, I think that's going to be, I think, the first time I've ever been truly excited for a comic book movie, that like a Marvel movie, from an artistic perspective. Like seeing Joss Whedon do Avengers, I'm like, oh my gosh, nerd crush. And just and seeing that they got James Gunn, who's such a weird guy, to do Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm like, that'll be interesting. And they had Edgar Wright involved with Ant-Man, and that was when I was getting really happy, but then they kind of screwed that up. Yeah. But now that Coolidge is doing this, I'm like, okay, maybe this time we'll get one that I'm like, oh man, as a comic book movie, solid 8. I would love to find out about that. All right. So that was good talk. moving on, we have a couple great little, not necessarily little. We have a couple comic book movies that are coming up that may face a lot of heat, a lot of joy. It might be unearned in either area, but we have, let's start off with something non-controversial. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. It's not Guardians 2, it's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I love being able to pronounce everything correctly. But I don't know how happy I am for this. Like, I really like that it's happening, but at the same time, I'm thinking, what else are they going to do? Like, they were super fun, and the trailer looks good. But the only thing that I think, like, looks really new is just Baby Groot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I might watch just for him, because he seems great. But I also really don't know what they're going to go with this.
Yeah. And now the Ravagers are on their side, too. Or at least Udonto is. But I'm kind of ready for it, just because I loved the first one so much. And I know everyone's like, well, I don't want to get too hyped because it's probably not going to be as good as the first one, which I understand. It's probably not going to be as good as the first one, but I mean, it still looks pretty fun.
Yeah.
Enjoyment wise, I think it's going to be good, but I don't know if, you know, like, even the plot of the first one wasn't really that world ending. It wasn't really that great. No. You know, they essentially solved the problem with friendship.
Exactly.
And it's entirely just MacGuffin based.
And I think the second one, the plot might be better, just because I believe there's going to be some stuff with the family of Star-Lord. But, I mean, enjoyment-wise, I feel like I'm going to really enjoy it, but I don't think it's going to be, like, a really good piece of art, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be funny with Baby Groot and Rocket and Star-Lord, you know, pretty much everyone but Gamora. I didn't think she was trying to be like a kind of a mixture of all the other characters, but she didn't feel needed to me.
Because, I was really like, I thought Gamora was a cool idea, but then you had all these hints of the relationship between her and her blue sister, and how like apparently rocky their past was, and I kept watching that like this needs some explaining. Oh, tore her arm off. Okay, I guess we don't get to know. Okay, goodbye. So maybe we get to learn more about that. If we're lucky, we might get to learn more about that. My main concern is that the soundtrack might not be as iconic, and I'm truly worried, because how are you going to find another Hooked on a Feeling?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's possible, so I'm scared for the soundtrack's sake. Like, it's going to be great. Like, it's going to be good, but I don't think it's ever going to be, you know, more than Ooga Chaka. I don't know.
And if they play it again, people are going to be like, oh, it was so much better in the first one, because they tied to a better movie.
They really
movie.
Need to not remind us.
Yeah. It's going to be difficult for them, really. I think so.
I think that was, like, that might have been, I think, the third record I bought, like, when I went to college. I started buying more vinyl records, and that was, like, the third thing I got was the soundtrack all on one big double thing, and I would listen to... Specifically, I would listen to Ain't No Mountain High Enough and sing every part and, like, dance in the hallway during Open Dorm, and everyone would just kind of crowd around and be like, ah, freak freshman, what's going on? All right, so there's Guardians 2, and I think... I don't know how I feel about it. There's Wonder Woman. I don't know. Like, it's purely from a DC hasn't, in my opinion, done anything right lately.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of something being entertaining, boy howdy, they can do that. But at the same time, like, I get the same feeling I get after I eat McDonald's.
Mm.
Like, because you're saying that was filling. And while I was there, it tasted really good. But now I need a cigarette. And I don't even smoke.
Yeah.
Like, I now know what that feeling is, where you're just like, I feel sick inside. Something else. Take care of it. Because now when I look back on Batman versus Superman and having seen other reviews and other people's arguments, I'm like, oh, yeah, wait. None of that made sense.
Mm.
Okay, I see now. And I saw the extended edition, so I'm just really worried that they're going to, like, overemphasize the female empowerment in Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's good if you emphasize it. Like, that's why she was made in the first place.
Yeah.
But if they overemphasize it, it might lose an audience and it might lose its plot. I'm scared for that.
I think so. I'm kind of hopeful, though. I mean, honestly, in Batman versus Superman, she was my favorite part. Mm-hmm. And
That,
in the past, though, with comics at least, there's been a lot of bad writing for Wonder Woman. She as a character is really good and really developed, but the plot is never good, and like her side characters are never good. So it's like, that's my real fear. I think she as a character can develop really well.
Mm. I had a fear when it was first, they were showing test audiences the first time, or even before that, there was a source who leaked there was problems with Batman vs Superman, and it was the same source that was saying, yeah, there's problems with Wonder Woman. So then they showed it to test audiences, and they were like, it's pretty bad. But now, after reshoots and stuff, they're saying it's actually pretty okay.
I keep hearing that all the time. It always turns out to be like, they release it, and they're like, it's pretty darn okay. And you watch it, and I'm like, oh, pretty darn okay. Just dropped 5 points. I want this to be good, because like we've never had... Okay, you know what? We've never had a good female-led superhero film.
You're right.
Because the only other one I can think of right now is Catwoman, and that's a disgrace.
Horrible movie.
No, I don't want to remember Catwoman.
I think, another close thing would be like Hunger Games. It's not
superhero. I hate the Hunger Games. Just like deep down inside, it's just a very personal despising for it.
Wow.
There aren't too many other things. I just hate the Hunger Games. Mm. So that never made me... But I can't remember the last time, because I feel like there is, the last time there was a female-fronted superhero film.
Mm-hmm.
And if you even take it away from the mainstream and look at just sci-fi things in general, there was Ghostbusters, which I will say it's funny if it makes people not mad at me, but I will also say that I really, really did not like it.
Not a fan either.
I didn't watch that one.
I
skipped out on purpose.
We went to a drive-in theater, and it was a double feature with that and the new Star Trek film. And I didn't watch the Star Trek movie, and I just like slept in the car because I wanted to be awake enough to really pay attention to Ghostbusters. And now I feel bad because everyone was like, hey, Star Trek was actually pretty good. So I avoided the good one in favor of just being able to experience the bad one. But there was that. In the past, there was... Oh, Catwoman, good heavens. there was Jessica Jones as a TV show, which I still haven't finished. It's been more than it's almost a year, and I'm still nowhere near the end. I think I'm almost halfway. And can you think of anything else?
I mean, not really.
Not really superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of female roles, but not superhero-wise. I mean,
so if this doesn't pan out and just ends up being or heaven forbid, really, really bad, then we're just all going to have to sit back down and be like, oh, no, there's still nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything left. And then eventually we're just going to have to, like, start crowdfunding all the best superhero things. Like, maybe Buffy can have a comeback. Who knows? All right. And last but not least, talking about right now, Justice League. I think it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
I'd want to say that it would be good, but at first I thought it was going to be good. And the more I hear about it, the less I have a high opinion of it. It just, I don't know, Cyborg doesn't look good.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of Ezra Miller. Really not a fan of his. I liked Batfleck, and I like Jason Momoa, but I don't feel like they can bring the story that they need to.
Yeah, because they rushed it. They were trying to do an Avengers, and so they're like, DC was cranking out all these movies trying to catch up with Marvel at this point. And they started way too late, I think.
And my thing with that is, like, I personally, like, comic-wise, I like DC better than Marvel. And I don't think they really need to catch up with them. They just need to do their own thing. That's what makes them good, is doing their own thing. Yep. And I think, I think the parts I did like about Batman vs. Superman were the DC things, not the Marvel-esque things.
Mm.
Yeah. I was watching a video from Jeremy, the guy from CinemaSins, who has his own personal channel, and he has these things called Letters to Hollywood, and he just writes them to Dear Hollywood and just starts talking about something he thinks there's a problem with. And one of the letters, he made the point, like, we're all going to get tired of superhero movies soon. And I thought I was reaching that point with Captain America Winter Soldier, which I liked much more than the first Captain America. But at the same time, like, even when I saw Doctor Strange, I started being like, and the formula is wearing on me. I'm starting to not care. You need to tie this place up, or else I'm not going to – I really want Infinity War to be really good.
Yeah, that was –
I want Infinity War – I want Infinity War to be good so bad, because Thanos is just being teased, and I think he can be brilliant, and we put everyone in one room and just make them fight.
Yeah, but, I mean, you don't even get the second part till 2019.
Like, come on. I won't even be in school.
Yeah. And they're putting a movie in between the two of them. They're introducing – they have Infinity Wars Part 1 – then they're doing Captain Marvel, and then the part two.
If they try and hook us and be like, hey, guess what? Whole new arc with Captain Marvel, I'm going to have to jump ship and be like, all right, there has to be.
At some point, you just got to be like,
Let's go back to gritty realism for a while.
Yeah.
Do what, like, the noir films were doing. Because noir came about because, like, everyone was, as I understand, everyone was having a lot of fun with all these movies. And then they were like, oh, I'm kind of tired of all this happiness. And noir stepped in like, hey, how about everything's bad and meaningless? And they're like, yeah, I'll have that for about 20 years. It was much less than 20 years. But that's – we might have, like, a renaissance of a past film style.
Which would like, be nice.
I wouldn't mind noir to come back.
Yeah, me neither.
Because that would be really interesting. But I still think – not because I want it to be. Justice League just looks like it's going to be very bad because it's no one – but who was attached originally. Yeah. The Batfleck film, I don't know, man. I really, really want it to be good, too.
Yeah.
It was looking good, and then Affleck said some things, and, like, he stopped directing it, and, you know, like, before.
He stopped directing it?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that. Okay, now I hate it.
And so, like, before he said, if it's not looking good, I'm going to kind of, you know, rid myself of some of the responsibility of it.
I wash my hands.
So it sounds like that's what's happening.
No more of this. No more. Oh, my. Oh, it feels horrible inside.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, because it's so weird now. Like, even now it's so weird. I want to think of everyone in the past who got, like, a superhero movie once every 5 years. And they're going to look in the future and be like, okay, they had 4 Batman films in the space of 10 years. What is going on with them? And like, and it's the two different Batmans and the plenty of different Spider-Mans. Is there no consistency? What's happening? And we're like, oh my gosh, you guys don't even know.
Yeah.
I wish I could explain to them. We're like, far into the future, they'll look back in time and like unearth now, and they'll be like, maybe apparently their economy was just fueled by superheroes because because that's why all of this is happening. All right, so, gosh, I'm scared for those. all right, we can move on to our final topic, Beauty and the Beast and its live action remake. Now, I am against the idea of live action remakes in general, just because, you know, if it's Sean Spencer from Psych made a great point. You should always, the only time you need a remake is if the first one has room to be improved. If there's room for characters to be further developed, like, that's great. You can remake then. But if you remake something that's really, really good,
yeah,
then you're basically just setting yourself up for only going downhill. Like, yeah. You're never going to do better.
You're just
going
to be compared to the first one.
Yeah. And I wasn't entirely in love with Beauty and the Beast as, like, the cartoon, which I only saw this semester because my friends made me. I wasn't in love with it. I thought it was nice. But the fact that they're making this after so long, now that I'm thinking about it, you can totally take live action and make it a different thing. Like, you can bring out different aspects of the same story depending on a different director and a different format. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that, but that's never been what I think Disney has ever done with their properties.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been artistic integrity, like, hey, there's a story here we can tell again. It's, oh my gosh, look at all the money sitting in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
If we just do it again, and we don't even need new writers.
Don't have to change anything. It was... From what I can tell and what I've heard, it's basically beat by beat, especially the opening. It's exactly the same.
No, I wouldn't mind seeing that song in live action. The music is nice.
I've watched the clips on YouTube of the music, and it's actually pretty well. I like it.
But the real point we're getting at is Disney announced that they apparently added, I think the words that were being thrown around were, an exclusively gay scene. And when I saw that, I'm like, well, it's Disney.
Mm.
Like, of course they're going to do that. Like, recently they've not shied away. They've made their position very known.
Yeah.
They're pro all that.
I mean, they have a special day at their park.
Yeah. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's happening. Recently, like today, I was talking to people who went and saw it, and they're like, oh, but it's not even there.
Yeah.
They apparently just lied.
From what I hear, it's just... You can barely see it. It's the character LeFou.
Yeah.
And he's just dancing with another man.
Yeah, I think I saw that. I ended up reading one of the full articles talking about what it was, and they said that there was one moment where Gaston says, why haven't you left me? Or blah, 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 to LeFou, like joking around. He's like, I haven't found anyone better as a joke, but really he's just, crush. Actual crush. And later there's a cross-dressing joke that's supposed to be played off more seriously. Then there's just they're dancing two dudes, and I don't get...
My thing with Disney and their whole pro-gay thing is that if you're going to do something and you're going to be for something, I think you actually have to be for it opposed to just kind of sugarcoating it for kids and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Nobody would know if, like, a kid watching that is not going to see that there's two gay guys there. They're just going to see two guys dancing. That's just, like, a silly thing almost.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, they've had other stuff in their movies, like with Elsa, you know, they hinted that she was a lesbian, but they didn't really, like, actually say anything about it. And, I mean, whether you're for, you know, homosexuality or not, like, there's people in the world that are gay. So... I think
fact.
it's a fact.
Science.
I mean, and, you know, like, kids should know that. I mean, it's an existent thing.
Mm.
And I don't know. They kind of hide it, like, as if it's not it's not really a thing. But then, on the other hand, like, for the adults, they're playing it off as if they're, like, really for the, you know, the LGBTQ movement. And it seems like they're trying to play both hands, and they can't do that. You have to be one side or the other in this case.
Mm.
Yeah. I
think that's kind of lazy, almost.
If it's, like I've always been kind of interested in what's called like the like queer cinema ish. Like there's tons of underground movies that were made by gay directors and they're about these themes and so on and so forth. And I've been interested in that because I'm always interested in the art produced by certain subcultures. Like that's why I really love the punk movement and looking at all that stuff and seeing, you know, queer this and queer punk and all those films. And then there's like Iranian cinema and the cinema from people who are under like an oppressive regime, all the things they create. Like it's all really interesting art, but this doesn't seem like what that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Disney like trying, this is as, I wish they were more overt. For how much I really do get annoyed with like Sherwood Pictures, which is the people who made Fireproof and Courageous and recently War Room and the movie Champion, which they're trying to get in theaters more. The reason I'm annoyed with them is that they have no kind of finesse to their craft.
Mm-hmm.
Their art is not subversive, and I think subversive art is the art that convinces people the most. Like C.S. Lewis said that the best way to sneak theology into anything is through romance, but they don't sneak anything anywhere. It's very overt, and I'm like, that's not a bad thing, but I think it could be more effective if this happened. I wish Disney would follow their lead, essentially. Like, if you're going to be pro this thing, you should either be like, I'm so pro this thing, or stop announcing that it exists. Like, if you're going to be pro this, treat it like you would treat it, you want it to be treated, like it's normal.
Yeah.
Like, just have it there because you think it should be there, and not be like, hey, I made this nice little thing for you in the corner. Do you like my nice little thing? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I thought they did with Dumbledore when J.K. Rowling announced that Dumbledore was gay. I felt like it wasn't entirely plot-based. She just kind of, like, threw that out there, like, just to, man, here's a bone from a gay fan. So like here you go.
Appease some people.
And that's almost more of an insult to that community than anything else. Like, I mean, if you're just doing it just to make them happy, that's not, it's just a cop-out. It's, I don't know.
But then again, I would have no idea what it's like to be in that community.
Yeah.
Thus, who knows? I mean, we're a bunch of straight guys. Basically, everything's been made for us forever.
It's very true.
It might be just when someone throws that out, being a part of that community, you can immediately say like, oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I can't wait for that.
Mm.
So it could end up just being a difference between I've been without this for so long that any of it is great versus like the slow artistic process and blah, 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 blah. But in the end, I think my favorite thing was an Onion headline that says world upset about gay character in a movie about a woman Buffalo romance.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like, now that it's in that context, that's so much more understandable.
Mm.
I think the last point was, I was talking to Evan Bell, where he was at the same table when I brought it up. Like, I just brought it up and someone, I was looking on the internet on the Christianity subreddit, and someone mentioned, like, why are people protesting Beauty and the Beast when they aren't protesting, like, any film that says, oh, my God, anywhere, which is, like, a sin. According, like, the Ten Commandments, it's a sin, but no one protests those, or no one just protests anything where there's any sex involved. Like, this is a sin just like any other sin, and people are apparently protesting this rather than something else. And when I brought that up, I'm kind of just, like, a little miffed or annoyed about it. And Evan just said, like, why would you ever protest anything? This is not our world, which was a really profound thing, which I had never thought of before.
Yeah.
Just like, you don't need to protest anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you are here and they're taking it away from you.
Yeah.
This isn't your fight. You won. There's no need to protest.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I like that point from him. He was, that was good.
It's very true.
All right. I think that's it for this episode. Hopefully Chase is going to feel better. He'll be back as soon as we can get him in. Thank you all for listening. I've been Cooper, the guest host and producer. This has been Nick Johnson. Say something.
Nick Johnson.
and David Irvin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's about it. So the Weekly Bugle, signing off. There's nothing we say to sign off, so.
Stay classy.
Shoopty doopty. Keep it swifty.
We'll come up. Maybe that'll think. Like every episode, we'll come up with something to say at the end. Maybe. I don't know.
Keep it
woman
swifty.
Buffalo romance. I hope it doesn't suck.
Mm.
I think that should be the tagline. What's this? Well, I don't know, but I hope it doesn't suck. I think it's the tagline of the show. Beautiful. I hope this doesn't suck. All right. And with that, I hope it doesn't suck. Goodbye.
The Weekly Bugle is a product of WJBC The RAR. Visit us at wjbctherar.wordpress.com. The opinions expressed in the show are those of the individual and not of WJBC or Bryan College.